Top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple
M Breakfast. A pre-grand final edition coming up of Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Rugby league. Hey, where's Dan?
Dan is got gastro and vomiting. His kids have had it. He's now got it. River, we've had it through our household. As
that's
well.
Right.
She had it on Sunday. She woke up again in the middle of the night last night. Oh, I've got a sick belly. So, lo and behold, I'm sure I'll get it.
Poor kids. School holidays.
Oh, Jesus sick. Christ. But yeah, he's got little kids and you can't avoid it when you've got them. They're all
not
over you.
Age, no.
No. So he's off unwell. However, he is alive because we've received a text message from Daniel, not on the burner phone, in our WhatsApp group chat.
What have you got?
NewYorkPost.com article. Funny. Man caught peeing on ex-wife's grave by her kids. Seems a man with a 48-year grudge has been 48-year grudge has been going each morning to urinate on the grave of his ex.
What, is there a lemon tree there? Is there a reason?
Much to the horror of her furious children who realised something was wrong when they discovered bags of poop left at their mother's final resting place.
He's not just peeing.
No, he's taking a shit too.
How old is he?
I don't know. 40, oh, the son's 43, so yeah, I'm going to say.
So he's 70. It might be a prostate thing, isn't it?
Oh, no, he's old. There's video CCTV footage being caught of him.
Are we in America? Did you say New York? Hey, her children. So well, they weren't from his loin.
Oh,
they weren't the seeds of his loin.
Children. Sorry, I'm only just reading this article now.
So
as
what,
we
they go.
Go
to visit mum and pay some homage and there's dad pissing on mum.
Mm. Jeez. A man who was briefly married to their mother in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Let it go, mate.
When they checked the camera footage, they spotted the gross grave visitor. The footage was too blurry and grainy to take to authorities, so a week ago, Murphy and his sister got up at 5 a.m. to drive to the cemetery and laid in wait.
Were they hiding?
They were waiting for him.
In a tree?
Murphy set up his smartphone on a nearby headstone to take better photos and hid behind a small shed. Murphy said the videos and pictures he said his sister got indicated that the man drove to the cemetery almost every morning between 6:14 and 6:18 a.m.
on his way to work.
With his current wife, got out of the car.
She was involved.
Walked to their mother's gravesite and peed on it.
Oh, God. That's holding a grudge. They're like Scooby-Doo, these other two. They're trying to solve the mystery in the in the mystery machine.
What about her son was, upset by the fact that he said, I can't get my wife to go out to dinner with me, but this guy gets his wife to go along with him to desecrate on my mum's remains every morning.
What a quote.
She's a keeper.
What? She is a keeper.
What happened to letting someone rest in peace?
R.I.P.
That's a grudge. Do you hold grudges?
No, not that.
I mean,
that.
I know,
you know
all your
I
exes
grudges,
have died, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whoa, I'm right in the hitting zone there. Go around. Oh, if only all your exes were in the one cemetery, you could get all your business done at once.
Have you ever gone back to visit any of them to, deal with past grievances or apologise, sorry?
No. If anyone doesn't know, yes, all my girlfriends before my wife are dead.
Yes,
they died of different things.
Broken
and I have an
heart
alibi.
When Marto broke up with them.
No, they didn't. None of them were going out with me when they died. It's just a weird coincidence thing.
Maybe 13353 we should talk about
where
it
have you
tomorrow.
Peed on your...
Well, just things that are left at the gravesite, because I've seen cans of beer when we went out to bury my pop at Mount Gravatt Cemetery a couple of weeks ago. There was lots of flowers always, of course.
I saw a durry.
But trinkets.
I saw a durry and a lighter the other day when I went out to see
cigarettes.
Dad's grave.
Yeah, there was a pack of cigarettes and a 4X can at one of the graves we walked past.
Packet? $50 a packet? Jeez.
Okay. You can't take your money with you when you go to heaven.
Can you remember to run that? That is good.
All right.
Do you visit your dad's grave?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, welcome along to the Catch Up Podcast. This is Marto and Margot on the Listener app. We'll get into the show.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Good times, greatest hits at Brisbane's 104.5 Triple M. There's Brian Adams, summer of 69. It's 8:25 with Marto and Margo. MG's on the show tomorrow. Well, I guess he's going to give our tips for the big game.
I wonder who he's going to back on Sunday.
That's tomorrow with Marto and Margo.
But of course, now the coronation hasn't occurred for King Charles III, so we'll have to make do with King Walter I. Hello, Walt.
Hello.
Triple M commentator these days.
Yeah, love doing it too. It's been fantastic. Every opportunity to get close to the action and see some of the spectacular plays of the NRL season.
I just asked you if you were going to be doing anything on Sunday for the NRL Grand Final, and you said, no, I'm free as a bird to watch it as I please. What does that look like for Wally Lewis? Where do you watch the footy? Who do you watch it with? What sort of spectator are you?
Oh, I've got to say that the commentator's box at pretty much every ground is the best place, Margo.
Yes.
It's nice and comfortable. My mate said to me, you regard that as the best place because you don't have to pay to get into the ground. A tight bum.
Or for a beer.
Yes, that's the way. But that is the best place to watch it. And if you can't sort of read the play from up there and predict what's going to happen, it's pretty tough.
Is the couch second best?
Yeah. Why not sit at home, enjoy every bit of it, and you don't wake up sore and sorry the next morning, that's for sure.
It's been a long time since you've done that. It's also a long time since Rabs has done it. No Ray Warren this Sunday. Yeah. It's going to be a bit strange.
Yeah, it certainly is. He's, one of those guys that I think is as much a part of the National Rugby League and people's love for the game as anybody else in the history.
And we got him on tomorrow, so on the show. So
they'll
stay
be
tuned
talking
for
about the good plays coming up. Oh, no, look out.
Even Wally Lewis does it.
I can't do it very well at all, but I've seen some guys do it to an extreme level.
Turn it up, fat man.
Yeah, and Ray just shakes his head. Turn it up.
I'm sure when we speak to him tomorrow, we'll ask him what the greatest commentary moment was for him in rugby league. I heard him talking with Lisa, Liam and Dobbo on the Rush Hour yesterday afternoon, and he mentioned the 2015 Grand Final. Yep. What do you reckon the best moment in rugby league to commentate would have been?
When Queensland scored the late try to beat New South Wales at the Sydney Football Stadium. Trying to work out what year that was. That was in the 90s. I was jumping up and down. I was actually the coach of the team and I thought, geez, we're not going to get our asses kicked because I'm the coach again. Coyne scored in the corner.
Oh, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And that was a moment.
God, were you coach? No one remembers that.
Yeah, no. I'm glad they don't actually because we lost the series.
Hey, did you see Todd Payton last night at the... the Dally M. So calm coaches these. So, well, I suppose you had Benny at times in your career. They're so calm, some of the coaches. And then you get another super coach like Bellyache.
Yep.
What were you doing in the commentary, in the coaching box?
You can't carry on too badly. You've got to try and assess what sort of information that you want passed on to the players. I quite like watching him. When he was appointed as the Cowboys coach, there was a little bit of criticism, especially up north, as to the possibilities of it being a successful season for them. And I can remember speaking to one guy that said, front rowers, how are they going to come up with something that is smart to tell the team? Well, he's proved this year that he's done an extraordinary job because most people were tipping the Cowboys to come 15th or last in the grand final tally. And certainly that has been put to bed this year.
He was all class last night, Dally M, coach of the year. Yep. His speech, I thought, was phenomenal. He did address a little bit of a sore point, and I know you blew up about it. I blew up about it. Mitchell Moses' forward pass. Oh. I know Corey said to me, he argued with me, it was early in the game, but I said that can change. Those moments change the momentum of a game and the mindset of the players, and I honestly believe the Cowboys should be playing Panthers this Sunday in that grand final.
Yeah, Margo, you're exactly right there, and I blew up deluxe. I was sitting on the sideline doing the commentary, and I screamed out, a lot of people, I said, it's that far forward. A lot of people don't go that far for holidays.
Yeah.
And it was,
I think Fatty Borden said it's
ridiculous.
6 metres forward, I think.
Yeah. His was a little bit wider than it actually was, but to not be able to come up with a call by either the referee, the touch judges, or the bloke sitting upstairs in the commentary box or the referee's box that has an absolutely perfect view of it all indicates that there's very poor times a possibility for a grand final.
And then Graham Annesley came out the next day and said,
him.
Yeah, it was...
Well, yeah, he said
it was forward.
It was,
but it's
it was the
too
way,
little, too late.
Yeah,
too.
Can't replay the game.
The way that he sort of described it, it was a it was a mistake. A mistake happened, so
but justified it.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead with it. But to have that many officials able to make a call on it, yet they didn't. But it was blatantly forward from the moment that it left his hand. It was always travelling in a direction, and people in the crowd get to be able to watch it and make a view themselves.
Hey, Sunday, who do you dislike the least? Parramatta or Penrith?
I try and work out. I think most people suggest that it's easier to like the Panthers. A lot of people in Sydney say, well, they're sort of the ones that you feel sorry for and they got belted for decades. We'll support them. I dislike the Panthers least, I suppose.
But you used to love Sterler. You used to love Brett Kenny, Ray Price.
Parramatta. Watching some of the defeats they handed out to me when I was playing at the Broncos. They were painful ones. But, yeah, I loved, Brett Kenny was the greatest player I ever played against, 5'8", by a country mile. But the Penny Panthers, they were ridiculed for decades because of their inability.
Remember the chocolate soldiers? As soon as the heat came on, they melted.
That was a low jersey used to wear too.
Who wears brown?
Brown and white.
If you were playing Parramatta and Penrith in a grand final back in those days when you would have played against them, who would you have wanted to have played in a grand final?
Penrith, they weren't doing all that well in those days. They certainly were regarded as one of the teams that might play well one week, but they definitely would play bad the week after that. Parramatta were one of the real premiership contenders. It was Parramatta and Manly, or the Roosters, who were going to win a grand final.
Well, Penrith's third grand final appearance this year. Can they go back to back? Do you think they've got it in them?
Yeah, they can. And I think that's been the most impressive feature about Penrith. It's a city all on its own, and certainly the way that they have gone about ensuring that they have a very good football team and one, not just for that season, but for years into the future, has been quite impressive. And you've got to admit that they have some wonderful planning in place.
So Sunday afternoon, what time is it start on Channel 9? Is it 6?
5:30.
The game.
Sorry.
Well, would it be on Channel 9 all day long?
What time's kickoff?
But you've got to be careful with kickoff. It's at 7, I think, and not 8 o'clock. It'll be 7
o'clock.
Well,
the coverage on 9 starts at 5:30. Sure about kickoff because of daylight savings.
Yeah. Watch right from the time it starts.
Just watch it. Midday. Just watch it all day.
Open your esky up at midday. Okay. Marto and Margo. Triple M Breakfast. Get set for this because this has never, ever been done on radio before.
Oh.
Maybe won't ever be done again.
You know,
most things on radio, that's been done before in different ways. I swear to God, this has never been done. So a mate comes over the other day and, people that bring dogs with them, like, Alan, you come into my house, I already got a dog.
Did he ask you and say, would Ted be okay if I brought another dog?
Just turned up.
Because Ted's not a dog.
As he walked up the front stairs, he said, I can't even remember, what's the name of that dog? Come on, Greg. Oh, it's a silly name, made up
Biscuit.
Name. Biscuit. Yeah, let's call the dog Biscuit. And both we were, my mate and I, this is Saturday before the footy started, we were already drinking beer. And we said, what is that? He said, my partner made me buy it. It was $8,000.
Jesus.
Wow. Exactly. It was a French bulldog. I said, you got too much money. You're ridiculous. He said, my wife wanted it. My partner wanted it.
Yeah,
blah,
it's
blah,
a thing.
$8,000 for a French bulldog. And I said, that's great. He waited months and months and months for it.
Yeah.
And we said, that's great. He said, that's why I can't. I said, it's an $8,000 dog. I've got to take it everywhere. I can't leave it at home. I went, there's a real problem with this. Do you know what a French bulldog looks like?
Yes. My girlfriend has
puggish,
two.
Okay.
We put up with it for a while.
It's a small bulldog.
Yeah.
Like a small British bulldog.
But with ears
big
pointing
head.
Up. Big head.
Small body, big head, pointy little ears.
You know, they can't breed naturally. They have to have the Caesar because the head's too big.
Dog can't push it out. Mm. Is it a bulldog cross a pug, would you say, combined?
This is where we started to go down the line. Are you ready? It's because we couldn't hold back anymore, and you know my theory. All these dogs that you see, and I see a lot of these French bulldogs going doing the walking thing and the little bundles of fur and stuff, and I go, what the hell? And I always go in my mind, every dog is descended from the wolf. And you go, this is such a sad thing. If there's a wolf looking down and you're watching civilization going, this is just
looking at little fluffy dogs going, is this the legacy I've left?
That's one of my relos just there, that thing.
We've all got one of those in our family, though.
Now, let's be serious about this because my mate and I went, what did a wolf have sex with to create a French bulldog? And we went, a short-haired koala. If there was a short-haired koala and a wolf had sex with it, you get a French bulldog. Wow. I know this may be a difficult concept for everyone to understand.
To grasp. I mean, it is the first time it's ever happened on radio, so as you stipulated.
What did a wolf have sex with? What did it breed with? Virtually, what did a wolf root to get such and such a dog?
Hang on. It's about seal intercourse. Sections.
It's 6:45. Right. I don't think you can say the tree roots.
Okay. Well, just want to know, you think about a dash hound. How the hell did a dash hound come from a wolf? And we figured it probably had sex with a lizard.
Or
some
a snake.
Sort.
Or a little blue tongue lizard.
And then the arms came from the wolf.
Short legs, long body.
Yeah, right.
Blue tongue
right.
lizard.
We look, all right, you take a Labrador, laziest dog.
Yeah.
I reckon a wolf may have had sex with a sloth.
Oh.
Laziest animal on earth.
Nice one.
What about those chow chows? My girlfriend has one of those.
Which
really white, fluffy,
they
fluffy
look like
one.
They come out of the dryer.
I think the Chinese have them. They love them, the chow chow.
Okay.
Would that be like a wolf making love to a polar bear?
Oh,
big, white,
not bad.
And fluffy.
Boris Johnson's head. Does everyone know where we're going here? This may not work, and I don't care. 133353.
What about the dingo? What did a wolf make love to get the dingo? A ranger? Lutzy, perhaps.
Stop it. You can't say that. Hold on. So let's try to keep it animals rather than
you
humans.
You want the breed, and then what did what to get it?
You've seen this sort of dog, and then, like a poodle, it's quite clear a wolf may have had sex with a sheep.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah, makes sense.
Is that how you got a poodle originally?
All right. 133353, just to help you get, we've got Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe, Super Wash for some of our callers.
Yeah, giveaway prizes, but think about it. Greyhound. How did you get a greyhound?
All right. 133353, what did what to get what?
No, what did a wolf have sex with to get that dog?
You're exactly
Jamie,
right.
How long have you worked in radio?
Oh, not long enough, obviously.
Is that the first time you've ever had to announce that as a phoner?
What did a wolf root to get that?
Exactly. In 33 years, never done this phone topic.
If there's any vets out there, give us a yell.
We better get on because at 6 o'clock, I think we might be breaking some laws if this was to go to
Jason, so, Marjorie Barr, what sort of dog are we talking here?
I got a cattle cross Staffy.
Okay, a nice looking dog. What would
a wolf had to have made love to achieve that, Jason?
A keg of beer.
That's great. That's magnificent. Thank you, Jason. See, Jason got the idea, and it's a theoretical.
He got the memo.
It's a theoretical exercise.
Gary from Greenbank, hello.
There you go.
Gary, you understand the assignment. We're figuring out what a wolf had made love to achieve
what?
Well, Mardo was going on about a greyhound. Or what about, a wolf with a Robert De Castello or a Cathy Freeman?
Oh, okay. We're going human.
Oh, fast running.
Fast running dog, yes.
Gary, what about a
panther.
Cheetah?
Panther, because panthers are black. Cheetahs are spotty.
But not all greyhounds are black.
No, that's right. They're all different colours. There's brindle, all sorts of things.
True.
Yeah, okay.
Gary.
Put the race in there.
Maybe to get a Dalmatian, a wolf made love to a cheetah get the spots.
What about a Great Dane?
Oh, a Great Dane.
Well, how did we get bigger?
An elephant.
Gary, thank you everyone for the calls. And so many we weren't allowed
to
put to
air.
There's
so many calls. Some of them are wrong. How did we get to a pug? We'll never know.
Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, so, Margo, we do know without even asking that both you and I were just sitting around watching TV last night.
Yeah, we certainly were. Dally M's were on.
I can't believe Kath said, she must have heard it on radio yesterday. She said, can we watch the red carpet at the Dally M's? And went, what? Who are you, woman?
Well, Corey came in and reminded me. He said, did you want to watch the red carpet? I said, yes, I do. And he goes, well, it's on. Come on.
She loved it. I was replaying a little bit. She goes, who's that one? And I said, she's actually an NRLW player. Oh, that's not a wife. Yeah, because he used to be just wives and girlfriends.
Now
there's all these stunners and all the rest of it. And
Fletcher
and
Hindy on the red carpet. I'm not sure that'll make it an appearance
next year. Don't need to do that.
I'm not sure Jake Trevoy also will get a run next year, although he does make for a good blooper reel. His interviews last year, because Corey had to interview him last year.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And then Fletch and Hindy interviewed him this year. He's so awkward. He was itchy and scratchy. He was moving around and he was all nervous and giggling like a little schoolboy.
You're right. Fletch and Hindy, they don't do showbiz all that well, do they? What a night it was. And then, was that around 7 or 7:30 or whatever? They got underway and started the medal and first one out of the blocks. Who won the rookie? Let me think. Come on, brain. Snowy, can you help me? Who won the rookie? Young. Oh,
I know the girl.
Jeremiah Nanai.
Nanai.
The cowboy, and then they just kept on coming. And there's the NRL. NRL played a, W played a huge role in it all.
Yeah, it was massive.
Oh, but listen, if you're wondering who won the Dally M, if you haven't heard the news yet, it was Nicho Hynes from the Cronulla Sharks, halfback for the Cronulla Sharks, who had such a wonderful night. He came in. Did you see him on the red carpet? He was so beautiful. On his own.
Yeah.
Came in on his own. Such a beautiful young man. And then when they did the...
It's his third year in the NRL, Marto. He's only played 60 games or something.
Yeah. He's 26 years of age, okay? Yeah. He's played 60 games of NRL. He didn't play his first game of NRL until he was 23. You know, most of these kids... Oh, Jeremiah Nanai is 19. Joseph Suaalii, he's 18, these guys. Nicho Hynes went up when he was, he came from Central Coast sort of thing. Woi Woi, does everyone know where Woi Woi is?
Did just he go before to Mackay? Gossett. Played
went,
in the Q Cup.
Played for the Cutters.
Yeah.
He went and played there for a year or two. He was working as a butcher or something up there, or no, assistant teacher. He was trying to be a teacher, going, oh, rugby league doesn't seem to be, you know, working out the way I thought it was. So he started as being trying to be a teacher. Then they brought him down here to the Sunshine Coast, and he played for the Falcons into the Storm feeder season system. Into them, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't until 3 years ago he finally got a little run. 2020 got a few games when Pappenhuisen was injured. They beat the Premiers. They beat the Panthers in the grand final that year in 2020 by whatever the score was, doesn't matter. They won. He was on the bench and didn't get a minute.
They didn't even run
not
him.
Not 1 minute of play. So Bellamy, during that grand final in 2020, did not even put him on. When they had the game won, he didn't go, oh, look, there's Nicho Hynes, didn't get a run. So why do you reckon he left clubs and went to Cronulla?
Fitzgibbon gave him an opportunity. Bloody He's now oath. Halfback of the year and Dally M winner of the year.
And beautiful young man. Nice and did you see last night when the Aboriginal dance, the Welcome to Country and everything, he gets a, he's in his dinner suit.
He had his face paint on
and doing a bit of clapsticking. What a genuinely great guy. And then he opened his mouth when he won the Dally M's, and normally I'd say that's when he let everyone down. It got better.
It's an honour. It's an honour to be here, and I got to do it with my mum tonight, who means the absolute world to me, and I can't thank her enough.
People who take their mums
to Julie.
Their mums to these events.
What
it's all about.
It is nice.
And going, where's his dad?
Speaking of mums, Racine McGregor, she was the NRLW Dally M winner as well. Her mum was there too.
Oh, no.
And she yelled out while Racine was up on stage accepting her. I'm so proud right now. Just yelled it out in the middle. It was so cute. I know. It's like, come on, mum.
Did Racine any stage, why did you call me a name that's hard to spell? back to Nicho Hynes. What about then? He talked, and you were telling me his mum and dad aren't together, but he acknowledged his dad as well.
I wouldn't be here right now, Dad, if it wasn't for you as well. And you've held me together, and Sam, my brother, as well, sitting home with my beautiful nieces. Go to bed if you're watching.
Go to bed.
So
go
cute.
What a wonder! He's just a wonderful young man. And then, as I said to you before, the reason he left the Storm, I think it's quite clear. They said, oh, we couldn't find room for him, and he wanted to go to Cronulla. His ass was burden from being dropped for that grand final. For not playing a minute in that grand final.
He'd done such a great job too that year
He had the humility to still thank him.
You're going to probably think I'm a bit of a weirdo for thanking my old club, but the Melbourne Storm, I wouldn't be standing here today without the Melbourne Storm and the guys sitting over there as well, especially Craig Bellamy, Billy Slater, the whole coaching staff.
Not one person in the rugby league community arrested at this stage after the Dally M stage. Rugby league doing with itself? If you don't know, the fuel excise ended midnight last night. Hey, guys, I've spent the morning driving around checking out cheap fuel. Best I've found is $1.89 at the 7-Eleven of Virginia. 91 E10 was $1.87. And premium was $2.09. It's all over the shop at the moment, and we keep asking questions, but we don't get any answers.
Well, the difference between E10 and 91 is 2 cents. And I don't know if E10 is good fuel or bad fuel. Is it worth spending the 2 cents extra to put better fuel in your car? So we thought we'd get an expert on because we don't really know what we're talking about.
Albor's fella, good morning, mate.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Now, you're carexpert.com.au if anyone wants to check it out. But can you start with the difference between E10, 91, 95, 98? And there's lots around it. Is E10 available for everyone to use? Does it wreck your car?
No, look, it doesn't wreck your car. Most cars that are built after 1986, you can safely put in E10. But realistically, it doesn't actually save you much money unless it's significantly cheaper. And like you guys were saying before, but it's 2-3 cents difference. You're actually better off in most cars putting in 91 fuel or better. Yeah, you know, E10 has a lower energy density than 91 fuel, so you actually end up burning more of it most of the time to go somewhere, so it actually ends up costing you more money.
So we had a gentleman message through before saying that he put the difference between 91 and 98 in, and he said that the 98 fuel lasted far longer, which in turn was, you know, obviously more fuel efficient but also financially efficient.
Yeah, look, 98 fuel obviously has a higher energy density. It makes sense if your car actually makes use of it. If it doesn't, it should make no difference.
What does that mean, Albers?
So if you've got a high energy density, it means you burn less fuel to go somewhere. So 98 is a much higher quality fuel. Some cars actually need 98. Some of the European cars actually need 98. But if your car is designed to run on 91 and you put 98 in it, it will make no difference. And that gentleman's probably just, psychosomatically decided to drive more efficiently.
Okay. Let's go through that again. European cars probably should be using a 98, but a lot of the Japanese and Asian-inspired cars, the Korean cars, they're all right using 91 without any damage.
Yeah, absolutely, and E10. I think the best thing to do is you can go online and you can go to a government website and it'll tell you if your vehicle is safe for E10. Also, when you open the fuel cap, it'll tell you the minimum RON rating for your fuel. So if it says 98 minimum or 95 minimum, don't put in anything lower. It'll actually end up costing you a lot more in your car's issues later in life. So just go with the recommended fuel. But personally, I don't put E10 in any of the cars that I drive.
Okay. Albers, my question always is about diesel because that's what I drive. Why did diesel not drop down, and why is it always why is it more expensive than unleaded?
Mate, that is a very, very good question that no one seems to be able to answer.
Why can't they answer it?
It simply seems to be the case that we just pay for it and no one seems to say much about it. But I agree with you, mate. I drive a diesel too and it always drives me mad that it's so much more expensive than petrol.
Do you remember when it was cheaper?
Yeah, absolutely. And it would make a lot of sense to buy a diesel vehicle because you were paying less and you were getting way more mileage. But right now, with the price difference being what it is, it actually almost doesn't make sense to drive a diesel.
But is it a supply and demand thing? So we see when the demand for something, you know, the price goes up because, you know, they have to get more supply. Because if more people are buying diesel cars and you're filling up less, therefore people are purchasing diesel less, but more cars are wanting it. Is that the price increase?
What are you
saying,
Mark?
I've just confused myself, Albers. Is it a supply and demand thing? More people are driving diesel cars because they were told that it was more fuel efficient. So therefore, is it a supply and demand issue?
I have no doubt there is some element of that, but I believe that the reason that diesel is often more expensive is because there is less competition for the source of it for us in Australia. So while we can get a lot of different sort of areas where we can get our normal unleaded fuel from, diesel itself, we have less choice. So therefore, the price can be kept higher because we really don't have a choice. But yes, there is a bit of a supply and demand as well. But I can tell you the process of creating diesel versus petrol really isn't all that different in terms of cost to the manufacturer. Yeah. So there's no reason why diesel should be that much more expensive at all.
Albers fella, you're from carexpert.com.au. Can I ask you one final one? Are they ripping us off? And in terms of that, do servos all rip us off? Would you rather own a McDonald's franchise or a servo?
I would definitely rather own a McDonald's franchise than a servo. The poor guy running your service station isn't earning much money out of this fuel that he sells. Uh-huh.
So who's making the money?
The actual fuel company themselves, but the guy that owns the petrol station makes very few cents per litre. So everyone always blames him, but it's the people that actually deliver the fuel and sell it to the petrol station that make the margin. But, you know, McDonald's is a pretty good franchise. But, you know, the other thing I would say to you guys is one of the best ways to save fuel is actually just in the way you drive and in the way your car is maintained. So if you're after saving money on fuel and improving your fuel economy, then a lot of it's got to do with your driving as well. So
no stopping and starting, less acceleration. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But even simple things that people don't really check is your tire pressures. I mean, your tire pressures are quite low or below what they're set. You actually end up using significantly more fuel. Wow. So just maybe checking that once a month might save you a good amount of money every year.
Turn the aircon off, Albers. Put the windows down.
I can't do that. I'd rather be a bit more serious.
Boys, you're great, mate. You've helped a lot of people this morning. Thank you very much. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Hey, listen, I wonder why I was getting so all schmaltzy and stuff about Nicho Hynes and his mum, and I realised it was because I had a bit of a day out with my mum yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't do it enough. She lives at bloody Chermside. I live 6 kilometres away and I don't go and see her enough. I just ring her over the phone.
You ring her every day?
No, God, no.
Once a week.
She's got 4 kids. Hopefully the others are
it's almost daily
if
they're all doing it.
Yeah.
How often would you see her?
Once a month.
Because I only just had this conversation with Corey recently. I said, you really should take your mum out to lunch or go out and see her because I don't think you see her often enough.
6 Ks though, Marta. Gee.
It's like my mum lives an hour away and I see her once or twice a fortnight.
Okay. So everyone, maybe this might be a reminder to pull up your socks in terms of your mum because I did yesterday.
Ring her at least today.
I rang her yesterday.
Not you. I'm just telling everybody else.
I rang on the weekend and said, I'm going to come and see you because we always go, if we can fit in next week. And then next week happens and you go, there's nowhere there to slot in, Mum.
That's cute. What'd you do?
She said, I want to go to the Dolphins, as in the Dolphins down at Redcliffe. She said, your father and I always should have joined because we were always...
What, she wanted to go watch them do training?
No, I just wanted to go to the Dolphins Club.
Oh, the Lakes Club.
Because she goes to Kedron Wavell. You know, she'll go over there for a feed and stuff and... yeah, so we drove down there. Nobody, I didn't know. Well, I didn't
know. Did you sign up and become a member?
No, just join for the day. Oh, if anyone wants to, this isn't an ad for the Dolphins. $11 a year or $20 for 5 years.
Oh, jeez.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But we pull into the car park and, oh, my God. And it did say on the sign, but I didn't Google it or anything. I know where the Dolphins are. We did this big drive around and had a look at Newport Waters. God, there's some development going on there at Redcliffe. Oh, my God. And that's what spins Mum. Because this is what Mum and Dad used to do. My dad died for everyone about 4 years ago. This is what Mum and Dad used to do. They just drive around Brisbane. Both of them from Stanthorpe, like bloody 40, 50 years ago. But they've always just driven around looking at it. They were always so curious. And I realised there's no one's driving Mum around anymore. Almost brought a tear to my eye. The joy that Mum had just driving around. Right. Looking at houses and things.
That's beautiful.
And this cafe. So we pull up to the Dolphins and the Murray Rugby League Carnival is there. Every single Aboriginal who has any interest in rugby league
there's
in Queensland.
There's like 30,000 of them up there at the moment.
Bloody hell.
It was incredible.
Quite literally.
Every single person had these wonderful dot art shirts and everyone had their own little interpretation of Aboriginal. They were everywhere. And I went, oh no, Mum, we're not going to get in. But they're all doing their rugby league thing out on the field.
Yeah, they're playing a big carnival this weekend out there.
Ooh, leagues club. I don't know whether I can do clubs. Like, you know, not with your mum.
I love a leagues club.
Yeah, I know. But if you're with your friends and it's all jolly, it got a bit solemn. It was lunchtime. It was about 12:30. And there's nothing like...
Did you get the roast? Chicken schnitty?
Yeah, I got chicken schnitty. It was too dry. Mum said, you got the last one there, Greg. It's not going to be any good. And it wasn't. It was drying out. Anyway, she
Mum
got
knows.
She got the lamb shanks. That's not what I'm here to talk about. She got the lamb shank. It seemed to be okay. But we walk in and you just hear this, it was horrible.
Oh, what?
It was horrible. They were boot scooting. These old ladies the same age as Mum. Line dancing boots. What's that? Yeah. Oh, there was left over right, then right over left, and yeah, do. But
is
these people are in
got...
their 80s. They're not just in their early 80s. Some of them are in their late 80s, and there are about a dozen of them boot scooting, which is a terrible thing anyway. And then there are about 50 of them just licking ice creams. It was like, Mum was embarrassed for the people who are about the people who are. She said, "Come on, Greg, let's go this way."
Marto, I notice you're wearing your compression sock today. Yeah. Is that because
don't
you did
me.
Too much boot scooting yesterday?
Dolphins
leak.
I don't want to talk anymore about
don't
it, but it was
tell
most,
my heart.
It was
my
the most
icky,
beautiful day.
Heart.
Oh, imagine how awful that is. If you boot scooted with your mum.
Show me how you do the grapevine.
Like your new girlfriend. What's the grapevine?
It's a boot scooting.
The fact you know, Mum.
It's line dancing.
Look after your mum. Go and take her out. Boot scoot if that's what she's into. Get
sweet.
Into the pokies. That's we pumped a bit into the pokies. Mum loves the pokies.
Love the pokies.
It's the easiest competition in Brisbane. And you know all the answers. Triple M Breakfast's $1,000 Briz Quiz.
Sorry, there's $500 to win to spend at Bing Lee? This is incredible.
Things have really picked up around here, Jamie, since
Jesus.
You haven't worked here.
Wow, this place.
133353. If you want to play the Briz Quiz, it is going to win you a $500 Bing Lee voucher. Thank you very much. John from Bigger Rewarders is joining us. Hey, John.
Hi, how you going?
From Bigger Rewarders, but do you know a bit about Brisbane?
I grew up in Brisbane, so I know a little bit, but we'll see how we go.
Righto. Which part of Brizzy did you grow up in, John?
I grew up at Zilmere.
Zilmere, Northside Boy.
For many years, Zilmere. Yeah, Northside Boy, yeah.
You'll near go right College. With, you'll go all right with question one then.
Which is 60 seconds on the clock, and after Marto asks you that first question, that's when your time starts, John. So you've got the biggest job ahead of you. You've got to try and stay on the line and answer all the questions correctly. If you're for too long, I'm sorry, we're going to have to buzz you out and move on to Claire, Steve, Adam, Mima and Edwita, who are waiting patiently. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
John, name one of the suburbs that borders Stafford Heights.
Ferny Grove.
Incorrect.
Claire from Narangba. Name one of the suburbs that borders Stafford Heights.
Chermside West.
Correct. Name a Brisbane suburb with three words in the name.
Narangba East.
Beautiful.
That's great. Which one of these suburbs lies further south? Auchenflower, Thornlands or Jindalee?
Thornlands.
Correct.
Claire, who was the first artist to play at Suncorp Stadium in 2006 that also headlined the AFL Grand Final this year?
Robbie Williams.
What is the next bridge along upstream from the gateways?
Surrey Bridge.
Wow, you're amazing.
Claire from Narangba. Not only did she stay on the line for the 60 seconds, but she got all the questions right as well. And we were making them up as we went along.
No, actually leaving the panel to go to a map as while you were doing the quiz.
Claire, you're so good we ran out of questions. Well done.
Claire, $500, Jamie. Tell her what she's won.
Yeah, it's $500 to spend at Bing Lee. They've got great service, great brands. This mob is great, Bing Lee. Great value at Bing Lee. Better living every day. Congratulations. Go crazy with your $500.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Talk NRL Grand Final because it's on Sunday. If you're unaware, it's a holiday Monday for most, but it's a public holiday Monday so we can get over the Grand Final. Just talking about entertainment was so outstanding at the AFL Grand Final. Can you remind us who's playing pre-match?
Well, Jimmy Barnes, Mahalia Barnes is playing the NRLW. Sheldon Riley.
I don't know Sheldon Riley.
He represented Australia in Eurovision and won Australian Idol.
Wow.
Yes.
You know. Nothing's his rugby
Diesel?
League like Eurovision.
Bliss and Esso, I think
what?
I heard.
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, there's about 10.
Hey.
Because they're spreading them across, is it the NRLW and NRL, both grand finals.
Big old day.
It's a big day. And coverage here starts from midday.
Yeah. No indications what's happening at halftime, but I was so impressed by the AFL with that, the drumming singer girl. What's her name? Come on.
G-Flip.
And they did some other stuff with Temper Trap and then Goanna. It was all there. They did a
massive Indigenous artist collaboration as well, which was pretty cool. Christina Arnoux.
Pressure's on NRL. Pressure is on
AFL do it really well.
Well, sometimes they don't. Ask Meatloaf. but
who was the one that stuffed up the NRL Grand Final on the hovercraft?
Billy Idol will not
be there.
Was
he on the hovercraft when the electricity blew up or something? Yeah. They should have just turned the switch on and off and said, keep going.
Right. Halftime entertainment. There's no indication. Nothing's come out of the
NRL. But the NRL?
But I think I may have it right here in the palm of my hand. How would you like this? A boxing bout at halftime. Two of the biggest names in Australian boxing, heavyweights going pound for pound, because there's no punching on the field anymore, and rugby league fans do like to see men hitting each other around the head.
Two biggest names, Tim Zhu, Jeff Horn.
No, well, they're lightweights. Oh. They've got nothing. Channel 9 have rostered, despite the fact that they had a bit of a stink in July off camera, after they'd been together, Cameron Smith had to hold them apart. Paul Gallen versus Sonny Bill Williams.
What, that's the halftime entertainment?
Not officially.
Oh. That's what he's suggesting. It would be great.
Hate each other.
I thought he said it was announced.
Channel 9 have rostered them both on to work on Sunday on the coverage. They hate each other.
Oh,
they've been looking to fight each other for near on 3 years now. I think this is it.
This could be
put
the moment.
Put them up or shut up, the two of them. You know, maybe Sonny Bill do, you know, as they run off the field, interview somebody. Paul Gallen do somebody from Parramatta. Sonny Bill do the Penrith Panthers.
Play and them off just, against each other.
And then
commentary
just turn
style.
Each other straight after the ads, they come back and they get their shirts off and just punching each other.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
I know we did farewell you, Wal, but welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Forgot to ask you something. Now, you saw Nicho Hynes last night win the Dally M, yeah. And thanked his dad.
I wouldn't be here right now, Dad, if it wasn't for you as well. And, you know, you've held me together. And Sam, my brother as well, sitting home with my beautiful nieces. Go to bed if you're watching.
Wal. And Wal just got the goosebumps. He just pointed to his arms. Look at him. He's all goosepimply.
Thanked his mum, thanked his dad, thanked his old club. Yep. And, Margo, we just had a call. Wal, the news was on. That's why we yelled out before you jumped in the lift.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Ken, is familiar with the old Wynnum Seagulls Club, and he mentioned that over the weekend your dad, Jim, was honoured as a life member alongside Paul Green as well, but a special moment.
Yeah, it certainly was. He was the man responsible for me playing footy. Dad was the one that put the seagull on the Wynnum jersey. They didn't have an emblem in the early days.
Hold on, but you were Cannon. You played for Cannon Hill All-Stars, didn't you?
Cannon Hill Stars, which is just up there, which was an affiliate club to Wynnum Manly. So it was, Dad used to say, we lived at Wynnum and we lived at Cannon Hill. We couldn't afford to live anywhere closer to the city. So he was a coach.
Well, are you telling me Wynnum Manly, they had the green and red, but they didn't have a seagull?
Didn't have an emblem when they first started out, and he actually was the one that put the seagull on the jersey.
Well, how did it come about? Because there were a fair few seagulls there at Cougar Eye Oval.
Probably came about after having quite a few drinks. What do we see around the ground? The seagulls are always flying.
The old man's name, Jim?
Jim, so he's late in life now. He's in his 90s. And
were you
and
all still there on the weekend for the moment, or was it like a presentation? Was there anything special done?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I was doing the footy.
Doing the game.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, he certainly enjoyed with mum. He's having his problems in life now with dementia, and the one thing, I spoke to him about it a couple of times, and he asked me about it, a third time. So that's sad. But I've got to say that he was the one that was wonderfully responsible for me being involved in footy.
Yeah.
Having a time, playing the game and teaching me everything about it. It was, a fantastic opportunity for
me. Even though, as though we get older, we tend to forget, he will always be remembered, and that club will, with that honour, it's very, very special. And, your children and their children, it's something that it will, continue on a legacy.
Yeah, a proud moment for the family. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, Margo. And just great to see that he was given some sort of thanks for helping the club out. They had premierships in the Colts, in C grade and reserve grade when he coached. He went to first grade and they got beaten, so he got
the
boot.
Yeah. That's
see
rugby
you,
league.
You can't coach Lewis.
Well, thanks for that, mate, and congratulations to your dad, and have fun on the grand final.
Thanks, mate.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
What's the difference between Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos? Mm-hmm. One has hair, one doesn't. No, not the right answer.
I didn't even try.
The correct
They're
answer.
They're both rich.
But the difference is $101 billion.
With a B. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, the Forbes 400 wealthiest billionaires has come
richer?
Out. I'm going to tell you because Jeff Bezos, well, someone feels sorry for him. Mm. His richness fell by $50 billion overnight on the stock market. How it crashed.
There's another word for that. It's wealth.
His richness. I like that better. Richness. His richness fell.
You're right back down.
$50 billion. Imagine losing $50 billion overnight.
Can't really.
Can't imagine it. Well, imagine this. What about $60 billion into your bank account overnight? Because that's what Elon Musk is. He's taken out the top gun. He is the richest.
Increased by $60 billion.
Billionaire ever.
That's a fair multi.
$251 billion.
I can't even. What, 251
he
billion?
He made his fortune rose by $60.5 billion in the year to September. So just up until this month. Mm. So $60
billion. $5 billion a month you increase your money by. What's the hourly rate on that? Anyone do that?
You reckon he's waiting for the 15th every month?
Jesus.
I am. When does that come around again?
That's a good multi.
$250 billion boosted by Tesla's higher share price and another private fundraising for SpaceX.
How do you make money out of rockets?
Isn't that
like,
that
who's buying?
It hasn't
buying
even launched. They tried to launch it. Like, it's not even a successful rocket.
But
and
he's selling
rich.
Teslas, but who's buying rockets from him? Or is he supplying NASA or something?
I think that's the way it'd work.
He's
yeah,
working
yeah.
for NASA, yeah, yeah. putting in dodgy invoices
and
making.
Working hard.
What's he worth? $250 billion.
Hang on.
What's Australia worth?
$251 billion. Don't forget the one, because that's still $1 billion.
What's our whole country like worth? Would that be
oh,
that
it's a
much?
Couple of trillion, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we,
yeah, yeah, trillion.
We're $3 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
Well, there is that too.
Take that off. And has he got any debt? Has he paid his house off? Any indication?
Imagine that. Just imagine waking up, you know, the stock market crashes and you think, oh, crap, this is going to...
Yeah, bad day.
Oh, $60.5 billion. Not bad. Good job,
not
Elon.
So bad after
just
all.
Just pat himself on the back. He would have tweeted about it for sure.
To go back to Jeffy Bezos.
He lost $50 billion.
But isn't he the one that got divorced from his wife? Didn't he lose a bit that day?
Yeah, she's the richest woman in the world now after the divorce. Quite literally. She is the world's richest female billionaire just purely by divorce.
How's she going on Tinder? She getting a few?
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast. It's as easy as 50-50. Or head to tails. Triple M Breakfast's this or that.
Sorry, Marto, what was the score before Margo just waved the...
No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no,
doesn't.
We don't look back. Oh,
that
sure.
was last
We're
season.
Moving
My
forward.
Apologies.
It's current present
so
time.
So currently it's Marto 2, Margo 1.
Yeah. Okay. And it's right. my turn to start first on
sure.
the Thursday.
All right. Andre's on the line from Wellington Point. How does this work?
Hey, Andre.
Hey, how you going?
Is that correct that you've chosen me to play for you, or was that a typo? Did you want Marto?
No.
We'll take our chances.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Andre.
In other words, a producer made him.
I'm feeling very supported and confident right now.
Producer made him take you. Jake from New Beath, it looks like you'll be going to Popolo for a lovely lunch or dinner. Well done, mate.
Stop it.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Right. Give me a chance.
We're seconds away.
All right. Come on, it's 2-1.
Okay, so...
Or that.
All right. This or that. I'll give you the first question. I'm only new to this, so sorry if I muck it up.
That's right.
Who's older, Dally M medal winner Nico Hines or the movie Toy Story?
Nico Hines is 26 years of age. He was born on June 18th. I just happen to know that, or maybe 13th. Toy Story, 26, that's 1996.
June 18th, that's my granddad's
birthday. Toy Story's older.
Toy Story...
To infinity and beyond.
He's older. He's older.
What year?
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's 27 to 26. 27 years old.
1995, that means.
As opposed to 26. Well done.
One nil.
I'm too good at maths.
All
look
right.
at me.
No. What I'm good at is knowing what day Nico Hines in the top of my head
June
was 18th. Born.
Margo,
June 12th.
You are
I'll
insane.
Check it.
We've talked a lot of fuel this morning. On average, is fuel this morning cheaper on the south side or the north side?
The north side. Oh, hang on. Wait.
Hold on.
Arundel was $1.42.
Well, but I did
is
tell
it
you
how
it's
south?
Gone up to...
How far south?
We'll say Brisbane.
Greater Brisbane?
Is this an average?
Or South East Queensland?
Average Greater Brisbane.
Like, am I Brisbane and Logan? Is the Gold Coast Brisbane?
No, not the Gold Coast. Let's take the Gold
Stop
Coast
Stop at Albert
out.
River.
The north side.
So this morning, cheaper on the south side or north side?
She's saying north side.
You're saying north side? South side.
Oh, shit. I said north side first.
No, but
I mean,
you changed
I said
it.
South side first.
$1.89.9 versus
$1. Congratulations,
Jake. Oh, that's it. It's
Tuesday. Damn it.
This is how we.
You put me off with your negative speech before we even started.
You know
it was just mucking around.
Turn the mic off while we can go.
Yeah, I know how to
quit.
Do that.
Out
She's just walking out anyway. Yeah.
Hi, Jake. Well done, mate. Hey. You're off to Popolo, $100.
Good on you, Marto. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. Sorry it took so long. We might as well have just given you the prize at the start like we intended to. Brisbane's most authentic Italian feasting experience overlooking Brisbane River at South Bank. So that's 3-1, is it? 3-1,
yeah,
right?
That's not a pretend blow-up. She's gone the whole way.
Has she?
Yeah. Anyway.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, listen, mate of mine's just gone the Strathpine 7-Eleven diesel, boys and girls, $1.95 there, which just gives you a bit
under
of a bonus.
$2.
Alistair's gone, nah, Vicky Point, the price of 98s around Redlands is all $2.15. So good luck, the fuel excise is back on. Did you want to talk about fuel?
Well, I was going to say, forget about fuel being $2.15 a litre. Let's talk about $17 per half litre at the 7-Eleven last night. Corey and I sitting on the couch watching the Dally M Medal Awards together, and both of us kind of looked at each other and went, I feel like a bit of chalky or a bit of ice cream or something. Of course, new 7-Eleven's just opened on the corner of our street. So I said, I'll go down, I'll go and get us some ice cream.
Hold on, hold on. Did you say for one of those, is that that Ben and Jerry's stuff?
Ben and Jerry's, $17 for half a litre of ice cream. Not even half a litre. It's 458 mils.
Have the government put the excise off that as excise back on that or something?
I was like, oh, my God, $17 for a tiny little punnet of ice cream?
What?
And we wanted two different flavours, which meant
don't tell.
I either had to compromise
$34
or I had to not get him some.
$34.
I got two things of ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Because he and Wiley were sharing, and I didn't want to share mine, and I didn't want their flavour. So $34 later, I got ice cream. I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm never eating ice cream again. That'll teach me.
I went to buy dog. I knew I needed dog food. I was a 7-Eleven yesterday after two. Went to grab a... I went... Oh, it almost burnt my fingers. Like, yeah, dog, I can't remember the price. It was in its $30 for this little bag of dog food. Buying stuff
from
at 7-Eleven.
Well, you know
they've
got
so
that price lock. They've got the price lock app for fuel. They need to do it for dog food and ice cream.
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. $34 for ice cream last night, but, geez, it was good. I've never had Ben & Jerry's before. And then I read the label on the back and it was like...
Oh, you never had Ben & Jerry's?
Never had it. It was, like, ethically sourced from, you know, proper animal... production or whatever. And then it said, you know, using cage-free, hormone-free eggs. And I was
justification
for the $17. I was like, not only is it good and it's ethic and sustainable and good for the environment, it's good for me too. I feel better for...
$17 for half litre. There'd want to be a lock of Queen Elizabeth's pubes.
Oh, jeez.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Margo, you made my beautiful wife, Kath, so happy yesterday when you talked about Farmer Wants a Wife and pulled back the curtain and said, look what's going on in
They're
there.
Faking it, the big bunch of fakers.
She loved it.
The dairy farmer, Harry, he doesn't even live at the farm that they're filming at. His farms are further 900 kilometres away.
Yeah, and you also said they showed a pub which wasn't even in their town.
Reality TV show's not reality.
Well, it's supposed to be real.
I know. And all right, did you see, just for everyone else who, because we've been watching Farmer Wants a Wife. She's been watching Farmer Wants a Wife, which means I occasionally, what's going on there? And I get filled in. You know what's going on now? You know, remember the chick, the farmhand?
Paige.
She sent all of them home and most of them walked and said, oh, I can't cop
not
you.
Not her farm either. She's just a farmhand on the farm.
True. Well, you remember how, so she had five blokes to choose from. They either buggered off or she told them to bugger off.
Mm.
Then Sam Armitage, she said, oh, here's a couple more that I've just found by the side of the road or in a pub somewhere. They've now gone. She asked, she said, would you like to kiss me? The bloke said, nah.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
Well, she said,
try him.
I've had
enough. Is she missing teeth or something? A bloke saying no to kissing on a Sheila.
Oh, I don't know. When this cat, it must be a young person thing. He doesn't pass anybody. Yeah, anyway, so she said, well, bugger this. No one wants to kiss me. She's gone home.
She's gone to The Bachelor.
The show's.
She's like, I'm going over there. Everyone kisses everyone over there.
That's all to young and old. All right, but you remember the other guy, the guy with the, oh, you don't even know. Farmer Ben, we've had him on the show, the guy who made the love heart. Yeah.
And the grain. And he made AC/DC.
Oh, he made the logo. Yeah, right.
With the Triple M logo.
Yeah, he did too.
Is he there?
And he did a love heart for his mum because he hadn't seen her during COVID or whatever and got the sheep. What he does, everybody, he puts all the grain out in this huge things. He did the AC/DC and then the sheep eat it and make an AC/DC.
And we got him on and he did Triple M for us.
All right, well, he's bugging off too.
He's gone.
He had enough. He's a tremendous... and I found out he was a mate of one of my nephews, so he seemed like a good enough bloke. His excuse, he said, oh, got to leave the show. Like he was peeling off chicks. He go, nah, don't like you,
You're rubbish.
It was down to two. And then he's put the old, and I don't know if it's true or not, grandmother died, I'm going to have to leave the show.
Oh, that old trick.
So there's a couple of farmers left and there's
a bloke did that on Maths as well at Married at First. Oh, my grandma died and then she saw him on social media and he was at a party.
All right. Let's just finish with this reality TV wrap-up. So Farmer's Wife's coming apart at the seams. And the block, you know, the kitchen.
Oh,
the,
what's happened?
Yeah, oh, Victoria,
the,
yeah.
The cushion show.
Are they knee deep in mud out there on acreage?
You guessed it. There must have been one hellstorm went through. And you wonder, why did the Victorians move up to Queensland? Mm. You watch the block, you'll find out. There is mud everywhere. Here's what you missed last night's episode because it seemed to be all it was about.
The block right now is just a mud pit.
Keeping mud out of our houses is just like the bane of our existence.
Oh, as soon as you finish cleaning something, you've got to clean it again.
Someone comes back in.
Someone comes in, trudges the mud through.
It's everywhere.
I found mud in my undies.
Oh, mud in my undies.
I got the same problem down at Cornubia. You don't even have to go to Melbourne. There's mud everywhere with four kids.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
We've had a big show, but gee, there's a big show coming up tomorrow. We will be sending someone to the NRL Grand Final after 8:30.
Mark Geyer on the show tomorrow. MG won the premiership with the Penrith in 91.
We were talking to Wally Lewis before about Ray Warren. Ray Warren's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Why, gee.
Rabs.
Big one for people with great memories. Mick Cronin, the greatest centre in the game of rugby league in the 80s.
What,
Mick Cronin on our show played all four of those premiership wins, 81, 82, 83 and 86 for Parramatta. Incredible man.
It's a Friday too. Are we going to do Fact Friday tomorrow?
Do Fact Friday.
Maybe it has to be a footy fact, NRL Grand Final fact.
That's
a Grand Final on Sunday. Is Oztober starting too? Because
Gleeso's on tomorrow. Yeah, he's got the big announcement because there is a massive concert coming up. I can't tell you who's going to be performing, but he'll be able to do that tomorrow as well.
30 days has September. So Saturday's October.
It's the end of Rocktember.
And we're away Mondays.
Are we in Rocktember?
It's Rocktember at the moment. Oztober starts on Saturday.
Can I work for radio?
Mitch in the morning's coming up in a moment.
Cannot wait for AC December.
Of course we're playing that as well.